This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. It is a jam-packed Thursday edition of East Coast Bias. The boys are ready to go to kick off March Madness and make all sorts of bad and questionable decisions. We welcome in Joe Haas, Raheem Palmer, John Jastrzemski. We have a bracket. We have a ton of basketball to get to here on Thursday, Friday. Really, the NCAA tournament, fellas, despite the fact that you can complain about the NCAA, you can complain about the quality of play, NIL, all the stuff that comes with it. House, at the end of the day, they have an event that over the next 4 days and really over the next 3 weeks, it's one of the most idiot-proof events that we have in all sports. I don't know how anybody could argue against what college basketball has going the next 4 days as far as March Madness is concerned.
Well, what it's proven beyond a reasonable doubt is it doesn't even really matter if you know the teams or any of the players. At this stage, this thing is like an introduction to many of the teams because of the way that college basketball has evolved. You don't really get to see guys around for many more than 2 years if they're any good at all. So it's a wonderful adventure. The fact that it goes 12 to 12 on the clocks on Thursday and Friday all day for sports fiends like us, it's really just the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much a gambling event or an intro to gambling event because we've all been filling out brackets since we've been in elementary school. A lot of us don't even know the players on certain teams, but we still fill out brackets. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, you want to try to pick the perfect bracket. You want to try to pick the winner, try to pick who's going to the Final Four and see what happens.
Raheem, I think for everybody out there, it's important to give them that little gambling tutorial. And of course, we're on FanDuel TV, so you would expect nothing less. We're on the Ringer Gambling Show on Spotify and on The Ringer, so you'd expect nothing less. But, you know, something, Raheem, that I never really grasped the concept of until about, I want to say 6 or 7 years ago. And I've been wagering on games since I was a young lad at Syracuse University when I was running to a certain fraternity house with a sheet and I was writing down all the picks and doing stuff that now I would just do on FanDuel, but at that point in time, I was not able to live such a life. But, you know, Raheem, I used to fill out brackets and just go gut, right? Or I'd look at schools and I'd look at pedigree and I'd kind of go from there. How important is it for you? And I understand that we're not doing a lot of college basketball throughout the year. But, like, when you're filling out a bracket, how important is it for the folks out there to look at the odds, not only to win the region, but to look at the odds in these games? And how much does that tell a story of what we might see?
It's very important. As I always say, every line tells a story. And if you look at the odds and you look at the line movement, it'll give you a good feel on who is a potential upset. I mean, if you're looking at a game like, say, Kansas versus, Samford, they're 7.5-point favorites. And they're the 4 seed. Well, you look at Kansas, they're suffering a lot of injuries right now. And a lot of the sharp money has gone on Samford. So you look at a line like that, that tells you, you know, maybe I should be putting Samford in some of my brackets to advance. So I think you definitely want to look at those odds. But also, I think one of the biggest things that you want to look at is you want to look at the size of your pool in terms of your bracket. So if you have less people in your bracket, you should probably be taking less chances. Now, if you have a bracket with 100 people, 200 people, 1,000 people, you want to take more chances. So it really just depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
And look, we had a year, House, a year ago where the Final Four featured a 4 seed. It featured Florida Atlantic, who was playing in the 8-9 game. It featured San Diego State, who was a 5 seed. And it featured Miami. You didn't have any of the 1s. You didn't have any of the 2s find their way to the Final Four. I don't get the sense we're going to have a repeat of that, because if you look at the odds to win the championship right now, it's eye-opening. Like, Raheem hit on the idea of, hey, if you're in a small pool, you may not want to take a lot of chances and whatnot. House, how many of these office pools across America, 70% or 75% of them are going to have UConn? Because, listen, if you've just been jumping in the last few days and you watch what any of the quote-unquote experts are saying, the Jay Billises of the world, the John Rothsteins of the world, how's everybody and their mother is picking UConn? Therefore, I won't, just because I feel like I got to be different. I can't pick the same team everybody else is going to pick.
Well, that's the point, right? All the value associated with UConn is now gone because the market has adjusted to the public perception. And the public perception does match up with what the experts are observing. UConn has looked for most of the season like the best team in America, so they might win. It's just that if you're looking for opportunities to wager, there are better opportunities. There's better bang for your buck throughout the brackets than messing around with UConn.
About UConn, UConn is +105 to win the East region and +370 to win the national title. But if you look at that East region, they kind of got a bad deal, because a lot of people, they talk about these KenPom ratings. Well, we all know UConn is the #1 overall seed, but if you look at KenPom ratings, they have San Diego State, 21st in KenPom. They have Auburn, 4th in KenPom. BYU, 16th in KenPom. Illinois, 10th in KenPom. Iowa State, 5th in KenPom, all in their bracket. So they've really, despite being the #1 overall seed, they have the toughest bracket. So they're really going to make UConn earn a second national championship.
No doubt about it. And I know a lot of people are just going to blindly put UConn in their Final Four. Raheem, I'm going to be very tempted to go and get some money down on Auburn. Auburn, I believe, at +500 to go and win that region. And here's something you got to keep in mind, guys. For everybody out there looking at national champions, if you look at the KenPom metrics and ratings, and you can hear a lot of that over the next few weeks. For those of you who don't know a lot about college basketball, you'll be like, Ken who? Ken what? No. The Ken Pomeroy breakdown of all of these teams, that is where they get a lot of the betting lines from. And that is where you can really decipher who is a good pick to go and win a national champion. Because Raheem, you hit on it. What? I think 23 of the last 25 champions, you got to be inside that top 20 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. And that's what scares the crap out of me regarding a team like Kentucky, who I love. You guys have heard me talking up Kentucky for weeks. They're like 102 in defensive efficiency. Like, those are the sort of red flags that should immediately scare you off a team when it comes to winning it all. So, House, when you're filling out that bracket, making those last calls, I'll send you the KenPom ratings. Make sure the team you're picking is top 20 in offensive and defense, okay?
You know, one thing I want to add is that
there's
4 teams that qualify according to your criteria. They're UConn, Houston, Arizona, and Auburn. And if you look at teams just outside of that qualification, Marquette, 21st in offense, 19th in defense. Purdue, 4th in offense, 21st in defense. UNC, Creighton, and Duke also fall just outside of that. So you obviously want to look at some of those teams.
Yeah, and JJ, on your point with the KenPom, first of all, we knew on Monday when we did this podcast together, it was time to get in the lab. I pulled KenPom right up. It's staring me right in the face.
I'm proud of you, House. Well played. You got but your I'm little subscription. You, there you
well,
go.
Well, you know, the point you just made about the defense. So it's not just Kentucky. And I will tell you, as a guy that's just sort of coming in the way that I am, looking for opportunities to gamble, I'm applying the same criteria. Kentucky, nothing future-wise. Illinois, for me, nothing future-wise. Baylor, nothing. Alabama, nothing. Florida, nothing. And in fact, I'm looking for opportunities to hunt those teams. And it's primarily because of how bad their defense is. The teams with elite offense and bad defense historically do not perform well. There's an opportunity here to jump in maybe and find some upsets amongst those teams, JJ.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you guys and gals out there, when you go through, and we're going to go through a bunch of round one games on Thursday and Friday that we like, that we advise that you maybe go get involved with. Raheem, you mentioning Samford and Kansas is a perfect kind of segue into this because that is a 4-13 matchup. Kansas is not a deep team. Dickinson missed the Big 12 tournament. He's going to be back. They lost another guy who's a big part of the rotation, who's not coming back for this weekend. Yet that line is at 7.5, 4-13. BYU, and you mentioned how well they grade out from a metric standpoint, they're a 6 seed. Now, they're a Fugazi 6 seed. The only reason they're a 6 seed is because they can't play on Friday and Sunday due to, you know, their religious rules and whatnot. So they had to be a 6. They moved Gonzaga up to be a 5. And you see their matchup, Raheem, they're a 9.5-point favorite. So looking at these lines, don't just look at the seeds and say, hey, 4-13 automatic, 6-11 automatic. The point spreads in a lot of these games, Duquesne and BYU as an example, it really does tell a story.
Yeah, without a doubt. So I think you really just have to study these things. But also you have to study the line movements because, you know, some of these lines have opened in a certain position and got bet the other way. And, you know, a lot of that, especially early on in the week, is sharp money. So definitely want to pay attention to that before you fill out your bracket, before you make your wagers.
A lot to get into. We'll run through all the odds to win the regions, and then we'll run through our best bets for the Thursday and Friday card. I have about 5 games I really like. We'll see if the boys have a couple that they can add to the portfolio. We got a loaded show coming your way. We got some NBA to get to, a couple of early season baseball futures you might want to get in on, all that more. East Coast Bias Boys, but just getting started. Coming right back. All right, welcome back. So what I'm going to do here, guys, we're going to run through the odds to win each of these regions. We'll give you a quick pick on each of them. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go through, there's just 10 zillion games. Between Thursday and Friday, I mean, it's literally, to House's point, wall-to-wall action from noon until about midnight, 1 in the morning. So, I mean, be careful. Find ones you like and try to capitalize any which way. Let's start with that Easter region, Connecticut. Basically, even money to go and win the region has. But you've seen some action on Auburn. They were at 5-1. They are now down to 450. And they're the 4 seed. Iowa State, who's the 2 seed, is at 450. Illinois, this should be telling to everybody out there. House mentioned how they don't grade out nearly as well metrics-wise. They're plus 950 to win the region. BYU at 16-1. San Diego State at 24-1. House, can you make a case for anybody but UConn?
Well, I do like Auburn, and it goes to their efficiency all season long defensively. And it's a combination of both the pressure that they're able to apply and how deep they are. They have they rank very highly in terms of bench minutes. So it's the best defense that Bruce Pearl's ever had. And, you know, the combination of what they're capable of. You know, we talked about how they grade out very highly in the Pomeroy, the KenPom ratings. I like that combination a lot. I was just looking for somebody other than UConn, and Auburn is my favorite in that region.
Raheem, you had to go with another team other than UConn in that East region. Is it Auburn?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Auburn, but I also want to say Iowa State as well. I mean, they're one of the top defensive teams in the country. I mean, you look at that backcourt with Lipsy and Gilbert. That's going to keep them competitive as well, despite the fact that they're not great offensively. And you saw what they did to the Houston Cougars the other day. I mean, the Houston Cougars are a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And if you could beat them 69-41, and then you could beat Baylor 76-62, That says a lot about this team. So if I didn't go with Connecticut, I would go with Auburn and Iowa State, most definitely.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason why you're going to see those teams 2 and 3 respectively. I'm telling you, don't sleep on BYU. I'm not picking them to win the region, but I think they're going to win multiple games in this tournament. And the fact that they are a 6 seed, priced the way that they are, I think is rather interesting. Now, West region. This is where you have Carolina as a 1, Arizona as a 2, yet the odds makers, Raheem, on FanDuel install Arizona and the former Carolina Tar Heel, Caleb Love, as the pick, as the favorite to go and win this region. Arizona's at plus 230. Carolina's at plus 340. Baylor, House mentioned he's out on them. Terrible defensive metrics. Plus 650. Bama at 750. A lot of people like St. Mary's, yet a lot of people think that Grand Canyon could go and take down St. Mary's. So that's one of those weird matchups where St. Mary's survives the first round. It could go and make serious noise. Are they going to go and survive that matchup? And then a very underwhelming Michigan State team, but it's Izzo in March. They're at 16-1. Raheem, I don't get what the odds makers are doing here. Carolina, to me, a more impressive team than Arizona all year. I understand the ACC is weak. I know we just saw the 3rd seed in the ACC get humiliated and embarrassed in the NCAA tournament. I want to apologize to everybody out there for being a moron and taking Virginia and advising you guys to take Virginia. How stupid am I? I mean, my goodness, sometimes don't let the eye test fool you. They stink. So there's that. But I think Carolina, the way they get after it, a guard who could take over a game in Davis, a lot of experience. Raheem, I know it might be chalky, but they're the 2nd favorite on the board. I like Carolina to go to that Final Four out of this region.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I mean, they have been solid all year long. And I know we spoke about this at the Super Bowl. You talked about taking North Carolina to win the whole thing. So, I mean, when you look at that East region, that West region, it doesn't seem like the strongest region out there. So I'm not too mad at that pick.
House, what do you got?
I came around to Arizona once I had a chance to really sit down and start doing the homework. They do have impressive wins. They beat Duke. They beat Michigan State. They beat Wisconsin. They beat Alabama. They go 8 deep, which I like. They get 5 starters that all score in double figures. They definitely check the box in terms of the offensive and defensive adjusted efficiencies, top 10. In offense, 11th in defense. And I don't think it's a surprise. I mean, the only problem is the price at plus 230 isn't a great price, but I think that they have the right resume. And the only thing that really, to me, scares me with Arizona is if they get into a high-scoring kind of contest and they brought it up against somebody with another efficient offense, then they could be beat that way. They can lose in a game where they try, where it's just, you know, basket for basket.
Guys, I got a long shot pick in this region. Patino Jr. at New Mexico.
I knew that was coming.
17-1. Now, I don't know if they're going to get there, but I love them. Spoiler alert, it's one of my favorite plays for round one. The Lobos are favored against Clemson. Yeah. The Lobos are an 11 seed. They are completely underseeded. They got Eddie House's kid on the team. They got Jamal Mashburn's kid on the team. They got a lot of swag. They played great in the Mountain West tournament. Raheem, 17-1. I'm taking a sprinkle on New Mexico to get to the Final Four. Why the hell not?
So this one's interesting to me because, look, I know what House said, but I like Baylor at plus 650. I just think this offense, and their first things first, they're taking on a Colgate team in round one who I think they could just blow the doors off of. And then I think they match up well with New Mexico. So that puts them in the Sweet 16 right away, if you ask me. And when I look at the rest of this bracket, I mean, you got teams like Alabama, who just don't play defense at all. St. Mary, I just think they can match up with them athletically. So I like Baylor at plus 650. I know their defensive metrics aren't there, but offensively,
interesting.
They're so...
Okay, so Raheem rolling with Baylor potentially as a pick. All right, so we got a little diversity there with that very chaotic West region. Now, South region, Houston, top team all year. They were in the Final Four a couple of years ago. They have been knocking at the door, Elite Eight, Sweet 16. They've been a power under Kelvin Sampson. They are a pretty sizable favorite in the South region. They're plus 135. Marquette at 550. Duke, who is the four seed at plus 650. Ahead of my Kentucky Wildcats at 7-1. Wisconsin at 13-1. Florida at 16-1. House, I want to be different here. I feel like I'm going with at least one or two one seeds. Where do we stand on this? Are you going chalk here or you give me something else?
I'm going with Duke. And it's against my constitution to do this because I've been rooting against Duke my entire life. But on the value proposition at plus 650, they are top 10 in the KenPom. And it's mainly because of how efficient they are on offense. They score 116 points per 100 possessions. And, you know, this at that kind of rate, that means that they're not going to get blown out by anybody. They have good perimeter defense. What they lack is size. They lack rim protection. And that's why North Carolina beat them twice this year. But they have, you know, two first round picks, probably first round picks going to the NBA. And, you know, in terms of looking for value, that's the direction I'm going.
Interesting. Okay. And I know the metrics grade them out well. The eye test for me with Duke, Raheem, and watching them before I left for Africa and then watching them when I returned from Africa, thoroughly unimpressed. I think Filipowski's a stiff. He gets into foul trouble left and right. I don't trust their guards. I get where House is going. He's getting a good number on Duke. I don't trust Duke. Who would you like in that region?
I'm going to take a long shot. I'm going to take Wisconsin at 13-1.
Ooh, I like a long shot. Okay. Okay.
I think some of this might be recency biased, but I did watch the way they played against Purdue, the way they won that game, the way they fought tough with Illinois. I just think this offense can do enough to, you know, put them in any game. Now, obviously, there is problems defensively, but I just think the game of basketball is kind of changing now. And look, offense kind of wins these games. So I'm taking a shot on them.
Guys, I know I'm kind of hedging my bet a little bit here, but I think one of these two SEC teams is going to get to the Final Four. And I know I'm breaking every statistical rule imaginable with Kentucky, but they are so special offensively. And I think their path can set up pretty nicely for them. Oakland in round one, an underwhelming Texas Tech team in round two. I think if we get a Kentucky, Florida, I am investing. Here's what I'm doing, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Kentucky and I'm taking Florida because I think both of those teams are going to match up in the Sweet 16. And I think whoever ends up winning that game is going to go to the Final Four. And I know both of their defensive metrics leave a lot to be desired. I'm going to say that Kentucky maybe won't do enough to get and win a national championship. I think they'll do enough to get to a Final Four. I'm holding my nose here, guys. I know how bad this is statistically speaking. Kentucky, all their guards, all their firepower. I'm taking the Wildcats to the Final Four. How about that?
I can't
best
do it.
Best of luck.
I can't do it. I love the offense. I love Rob Dillingham, but at the end of the day, it just feels like this is a team that always underachieves. So I can't do it. So
I understand. I have major egg on my face for this one, but those are my two tickets in that region. All right, Midwest region. This is the region house of the losers, right? Because Purdue never wins when it counts. Tennessee never wins when it counts. Well, they're the one and they're the two respectively. I cross both of them off immediately. Now, I think Purdue has a great road to the Final Four. I think it sets up really, really nicely for them. I still don't trust them. The team I picked in this region, we talk about metrics. This is where I'm actually siding with the metrics in a big way. I think the winner of Creighton and Oregon is going to the Final Four. I have Creighton 41 to win a title. I just invested in Oregon at a crazy number to win the region. Oregon's metrics are going to be off because they had a lot of injuries. They are a healthier team. They just beat Arizona. Dana Altman's an outstanding college tournament coach. Creighton was an Elite Eight team last year. So my official pick on this house is Creighton, full disclosure. I think Oregon is worth the sprinkle here, though, to get to the Final Four. And that's one of my other favorite round one bets. I love the Ducks against South Carolina. I can't wait to bet that game. But House, Creighton, my Final Four pick, final one. What do you got?
I'm not going to fight you on it. I like that Creighton. I like that number. I have to confess that I'm on Tennessee. I understand.
Wow, you're doing it.
I can't do Purdue, But this Tennessee defense is so incredible, and they have so much depth, and they have the bodies to just put on that pressure. They have the guy. Like, I want to know, for a team that you want to get to the Final Four, who's their guy? Who's their hoss? Cole Kmet is that guy. He's going to be top 10 pick in this upcoming NBA draft. I understand all of the reasons to not back a Rick Barnes team. I don't think he's made it past the Sweet 16 in 7 years, but these numbers are pretty good, JJ, especially on the defensive side.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, Raheem, we got a Tennessee pick. We got a Creighton pick. What would be your pick here?
Tennessee
for this
was my pick as well. I just think Dalton Kmet. I mean, he's a guy. At the end of the day, he's a guy who you can trust. And I just think this bracket is set up for the one and the two. We could see some deja vu. You know, obviously Virginia, they got knocked out as a number one seed to a 16th seed for the first time ever. We saw the same thing happen last year with Purdue. I think Purdue was going to come back, and they put them in a region that's very winnable for them. So I see Purdue or Tennessee. I'm going with Tennessee because I like the number a little bit better. But I think I would go with number one or number two in this bracket.
Wow, Raheem, who is not exactly Mr. Chalk and gave you Wisconsin as a potential play, thinks that Purdue and Tennessee may end up being a battle of the losers, maybe in the Elite Eight, to see which one can maybe finally break through and finally get to a Final Four. Is it Matt Painter or is it Rick Barnes? All right, guys. Thursday and Friday picks. We'll do a little rapid fire here. We'll go one by one by one, and then maybe we'll give a best bet to close out the show because we do that each and every East Coast bias. House, on Thursday, the game that I absolutely love right now, Oregon. They're a 1.5-point dog against South Carolina. I think South Carolina, to quote our buddy Raheem Palmer, has been fake dust. All year, they have been fake dust. They have been very fortunate. Their luck metric is absolutely insane. And I still think the odds makers are not accounting enough for the fact that Oregon is just a drastically different team than they were in November, December, January. So pick one for me. The Oregon Ducks, I don't need those stinking points outright against South Carolina as a 1.5-point dog. That's pick one. All right, what's your pick one here, House?
We've talked about it a couple times, and it's, I think, a nice opportunity. I like this Samford team going up against Kansas. Kansas missing its top scorer, McCullough. Hunter Dickinson, who knows what kind of shape he's in. But really, this is about a style of play. Samford's ability to get out and run their top 10 in pace team, and they play all 9 or 10 deep. So they have the deep. They're very good in bench minutes across the season. This is really a game where they're at altitude in Salt Lake City, and they have a very good deep bench, and I just think that they have the ability to certainly hang with Kansas. So getting the 7.5 is great, but why not sprinkle the money line a little bit? Plus 235, plus 240. Samford is on my card for sure.
I'm going to go with Drake money line against Washington State. I mean, this is a team that's won 9 out of its last 10 games, and they're taking on a Washington Cougars team, which is 297th in the country in turnover percentage. We all know you don't want teams to turn the ball over during March Madness. Drake is 29th in this regard over the last month. I just think this is a sharp play. This line opened at +1.5. It's now Drake -1.5. I'm going to lay the money line with Drake.
I like that, Raheem. That is one I'm absolutely playing. I'll give you another one I really like. Texas Tech. I know NC State won 5 games in 5 days. NC State was basically a 500 team all season long. We've seen how this goes for a lot of teams that get to the NCAA tournament. Georgia Tech comes to mind. Georgetown with Patrick Ewing comes to mind. My second pick, fellas, the Red Raiders at Texas Tech. Lay the 5. It won't be close. They win comfortably over Kevin Keats and the North Carolina State Wolfpack. Raheem, I know that's one you're thinking about, but I love Texas Tech.
Yeah, that was my second pick as well. And I mean, the big reason why is you look at the KenPom ratings. Texas Tech, 24th in KenPom. NC State, 58. So NC State, they ran good. They ran over expectation in the ACC tournament. Now they come back down to earth. The only concern about this pick is that Texas Tech does have some injuries, so you do want to monitor that. but I really like this pick. I think it's Texas Tech -4.5 on FanDuel right now. It might be some fives. I would lay either of those.
Grab it when you can. House, what's your second pick here for the NCAA tournament with Ryan?
I mean, if it's NCAA tournament time, that means it's Izzo time. That means it's Michigan State time. And they are laying a point, maybe a point and a half. The total is 130.5. They're up against Mississippi State. And look, Tom Izzo, Michigan State, undefeated in the first round when they are not in the top three seeds. They are not in the top three seeds this year. Undefeated against the SEC straight up. And I believe maybe only one against the spread loss in the last 10 times. It's just Izzo time when it's NCAA time. None of us will be surprised to see them win their first two games and get to the Sweet 16. It's what they do every single year. I do think the defense at Mississippi State is decent enough. So I like the under in that game. Also, I've parlayed under 130 or 130 and a half along with Michigan State. But if it's tournament time, that means it's Izzo time.
You know, House, I actually looked long and hard about Mississippi State because I think a lot of the numbers and the way this line has moved points in the direction of Mississippi State. But Raheem, here's my problem with that. I can't bet against Tom Izzo in March. I've done it too many times. I've had way too much egg on my face. This is the sort of game he wins. So this is one of those classic, the numbers tell you one thing, but my gut and my head leans with House here on this one. So I'm not touching the game, House, but you get my endorsement because it's Tom Izzo. Raheem, doesn't that number say Mississippi State, though?
It does. And I actually saw people picking Mississippi State to win the West region. So I've heard a couple people say it. So, I'm staying away from this one.
All right, House, we wish you best of luck. Hey, listen, you're going with one of the most reliable coaches in the month of March over the last 30-plus years. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, guys, when we come back, we'll turn our attention to the pros on the hardwood and the Cleveland Cavaliers trying to make their move, even though Donovan Mitchell nowhere to be found, at least for the time being. How that Anthony Edwards dunk from the other night. I'm still salivating over it. I can't wait to watch the Minnesota Timberwolves come playoff time. What to look for as we hit the home stretch. NBA season, less than a month ago. Boys Got Reaction coming up next. All right, welcome back. It's hard to believe the baseball season started today. I mean, nice job by baseball. They're putting a game in Korea. I had no idea they were playing a regular season game. The only reason I knew is because my dopey fantasy league gave me the option. Do you want to include these games or do you want to bypass these games? I said, nah, no thanks. We'll bypass the two games in Korea. We'll start our season when it's supposed to start next week with everybody rocking and rolling on Thursday and Friday. But we'll officially dive into a lot more of these over-unders and these season totals and everything that kind of comes your way. Raheem, where do we stand right now? Do you feel good about your baseball over-unders or not necessarily?
I'm still doing some work. I'm so caught up in NBA right now that it's kind of tough for me to get there right now, but by next week I will be ready. It's tough because there are certain teams that I really like.
And it's fun to root for because you know you have them over the course of the year. And listen, FanDuel does a great job of this. They have best regular season record, worst regular season record. You could take a team to win 80 games. You could take a team to win 90 games. They really let you have a lot of fun in throwing them in parlays, and you kind of can go from there. House, any interest? The Nationals, 120-1. To win the National League East. I don't think so, right?
No, but I will say that I did already bet them over 66.5 wins. They really showed me something last year as they stole money from me because they had a bunch of kids, especially in July when some of their minor league guys can come up. I think they're poised to win in the low 70s, even though the National League East is going to be so tough. So I have an overplay on the Nats at 66.5. I went ahead and bet the Orioles over 89.5 wins. I think that they're capable of running back all that magic that they had last year. I think they're capable of in the low 90s in terms of wins this upcoming season. And then there's an auto bet on the card, and that is the Oakland Athletics. And I'm just going to blindly bet it under. It's juiced to the over. The total's 57.5. Like no scenario under 57.5 on the Athletics, JJ.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. The A's are in minor league team. They'll continue to run like a minor league operation. It's tough, even if it's baseball and you're playing 162 games, to count on them to go and win a whole lot of games. I don't trust that operation in the least. It's interesting. House mentions the Orioles in the AL East. They're not the favorite to win the division. I think their win total at 89.5 is very underpriced and very low. I mean, they're bringing all their kids back. They go and add Corbin Burns, who's one of the, 5-10 best pitchers in all baseball. He wasn't a part of their team last year. Raheem, why are the Orioles being undervalued? Are the metrics and the odds makers thinking they may be overachieved a little bit, or is it the tough division? I feel like this 89.5 and this plus 200 to win the division, it's good value.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Baltimore is that they overperformed their Pythagorean expectation last year. And then obviously, teams who overperform their Pythagorean expectation tend to regress the following year. And then, the bullpen is expected to regress as well. And then when you look at that division is really, really tough. So, outside of Boston, that whole division, they're challenging for the postseason. So I understand why people are going under right now. It just makes sense to me.
Interesting. Yeah, I think they'll be one of the better teams in the AL, though. I just think they have young, emerging talent that's sustainable, and it's only the start of something, at least the way I see it, in Baltimore. But to Raheem's point, you have win totals for Tampa, Toronto, the Orioles, and the Yankees that are going to all be north of the 500 mark. Those are all outstanding, terrific, playoff caliber type teams. Over under house, you mentioned the crummy team you're going to win it over. Kansas City Royals. They got one of the best young players in the sport. They got kids coming up through the pipeline, and that division stinks. Royals at 73.5 with Bobby Witt Jr. leading the way. I am in on Kansas City. Raheem, can I get you on board with that? Kansas City over 73.5?
I need to do a little bit more research on that. But I do have one that I like, and I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay Rays over 84.
I love
wins.
It. Love
I it. Just think this is a team that's consistently there. And, last year they got off to that hot start and they faded down the stretch. I expect them to come back motivated. They won 99 games last year, 86 the year before, 100 the year before. They had that one year where they won 40 games. But besides that, you're talking about a team who's just won 90 or more games since like 2018. So I'm going to take them over 84 wins.
I think that's a fantastic, fantastic bet. I love Tampa Bay. They are competitive every year. They find players through their pipeline, and you're getting a very low, reasonable number. 84.5 wins, circle that one. And when we do this next week, I am really going to do a lot of research on the National League Central. Because to me, that division is there for the taking. The Brewers, they lose their manager in Craig Counsell. They lose their ace in Corbin Burns. Cardinals may be a little bit better. Are the Cubbies ready to make their move? I don't have to pick yet. But maybe it'll be the Cincinnati Reds. Remember, Raheem was in on the Reds last year. He almost brought that baby home. Maybe this will be the year of the Cincinnati Reds. All right, guys, we'll come back. Give out some best bets before we say goodbye. Right after this. All right, boys, welcome back. I'm going to bury the lead here. I know you guys are sick and tired of me pounding my chest about the Knicks. Even with all their injuries, they go and beat the Warriors. They go and beat the Kings. I don't want to bore the national audience house with my slob drool fest over the Knicks. I know there are some appealing storylines going on throughout the league, but as we look ahead to a Thursday card in the NBA, it's tough to find a more appealing game than the Knicks, who wrap up their road trip against the best team in the league, in my opinion, the reigning champs with the best player on the floor in Jokic. And oh, by the way, House, the last time the Knicks played the Nuggets, remember that was the classic get out and dodge Nuggets game on the last game of their road trip. You know, Mike Malone and the Joker have that in their memory bank thinking about that game when the Knicks gave it to him at the Garden, you know?
All due respect to the Knicks, and I mean it. I mean, I respect them so much. I've been in enjoying the hell out of them. I think Denver comes in and puts a smackdown on them. And it's the Knicks' turn for the get the hell out of town opportunity, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Like, first things first, this line doesn't even make any sense. Denver is laying, what, 8.5? The Knicks were catching 6.5 to the trash Golden State Warriors the other day. So, like, it just doesn't make any sense. This line should be a lot higher. I think the Denver Nuggets take this team into the deep waters and they drown them. And I think this is a low-scoring game. Like, you mentioned that the Knicks were at the end of their road trip. Now they got to play in altitude. I like the Nuggets here in a lower-scoring game. This probably goes under.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to fight you guys on that. I think it's a brutal spot for the Knicks. They're not going to have OG Anunoby. You see the total, to Raheem's point, opened at 213.5. It's now all the way down to 210. Knicks have been getting a lot of great contributions out of the likes of Hard and Miles McBride and Dante DiVincenzo. But yeah, this game has Payback City written all over it. I know the Knicks are feisty. I know the Knicks compete. They are not capping off a 4-0 road trip, and I think they lose this game. To your point, fellas, by double digits. I won't bet it. I'd rather have my heart root for the Knicks, but if you guys want to go and profit and make some money off of this, I am not going to fight you on it. Other interesting game I want to get to here is New Orleans and Orlando, House. The Pelicans, 42-26. You know, Zion Williamson, this is the version of Zion Williamson I think a whole lot of people have been waiting to see. Going back to his Duke days, he's balling out. They're a slight road favorite against a Magic team that needs these games desperately. Tough game to handicap. Don't have a strong lean on it. Where do you stand on the Pelicans and the Magic later on tonight?
Well, I have to just confess my continued amazement at this Pelicans team. I mean, this is really the version of this team where they have depth across the board. They can match up defensively. Herb Jones has been balling out on defense, but really it's Zion, and I'm knocking on wood with both hands. Zion Williamson is healthy and playing basketball games well into March and early April. Gosh, I hope that we didn't jinx it. But look, they've been excellent. 4-1 against in clutch games against the top four teams in the West. Not very good in clutch games against the rest of the league, but 6-1 in March. They can come at you a lot of different ways. CJ McCollum has been very steady. I'm really impressed by this Pelicans team, and I'm not surprised that they're favored, to be honest with you, Dream.
I'm not surprised that they're favored as well. And, you know, a big reason why is because the Pelicans have just been, I mean, they've been incredible defensively lately, and they're just such a deep team. Now, the problem with this game is that the Magic are at home. And you look at this Magic team. They are the best against the spread team in the NBA this year, 46-23. They are also a top five defense. You're talking about a team who the third in defensive rating in their 9 garbage time minutes. However, they can't score the basketball. So, like, that's the Magic issue in this game. I think this is a lower scoring game. Like, you're looking at a total of about 210.5. I think you can go under here because I just don't think you're going to see a lot of points at all.
Under, terrific Orlando Magic defense. Totally, totally get it. Guys, I just got to throw this out there. I'm still salivating, House, over that Anthony Edwards dunk. Like, when I think about top five guys that are on my, like, league pass rating, like, as far as, like, when I'm flipping through channels and I'm like, all right, the Knicks aren't on. What NBA game am I going to watch? That's a guy I can't turn my eyes off Anthony Edwards, dude. He is so much fun to watch.
Well, the most impressive thing about him is that he is doing his best to lead that team because they're all banged up. I mean, we know about the Karl Anthony Towns injury. Gobert's out, and this team is continuing to fight down to the last possession. They had a chance to tie this week against Denver on the road. Super impressive performance. Undermanned against the upper echelon of the league. because they're in the upper echelon in the league. And the reason for it is because Anthony Edwards is that guy. He wants to be that guy. I can't wait to see these Olympics coming up. And one of the things we've been talking about as a theme on here that I want to make sure we continue to like reveal to everybody in the physicality of these games, that is good training for the Olympics. Thank God the NBA is letting the guys go out and bang each other. That's the way they call it in international ball. They're not calling touch fouls. They're not called letting guys jump in, the offensive player get an advantage and jump into the defense. So good on the NBA for getting our boys ready for the Olympics this summer.
I'm going to be honest with you. They're not only getting these NBA players ready for the Olympics, they're getting them ready for like jail basketball because look, I'm all for physicality. But they're just not calling fouls at all. They've completely shadow banned the foul at this point. But I do like them bringing 90s basketball back. It's very exciting. I'm glad you mentioned Anthony Edwards because, I mean, this guy is like 88 Jordan out there at this point in time with his athleticism. You saw the block he had against the Indiana Pacers about a week and a half ago, which saved the game. He's just been absolutely incredible.
Had to make sure we gave Anthony Edwards a little bit of love before we say goodbye. All right, speaking of saying goodbye, we'll come back. Best bets, college, pro, whatever's on your mind. Boys, we'll wrap it up right after this. All right, we hit on a ton of best bets for the tournament here on Thursday and Friday. We have a Thursday card in the NBA. House, you could circle back. You could add one. Choice is yours. Best bet for Thursday.
I really like Morehead State catching 11.5 points against Illinois. This is a perfect one of these high seed go against a low seed situations where styles make fights. And what Morehead is capable of in the combination of slowing down the game, controlling the pace, controlling the tempo, and knocking down three-pointers, I think they're going to be very live against Illinois. 11.5 is a lot. Sign me up. I'm on Morehead State plus 11.5 against Illinois, fellas.
I'm with it. Dream, best bet.
I'm going to go with Nevada. Now, I know people don't like the Mountain West since 2016. They are 7-16 against the spread. But I'm going with Nevada against Dayton, laying the -1 money line. I just think this Nevada team, I trust their guards. Keenan Blackshear, Jarrett Lucas, they're going to be able to create offense against this Dayton backcourt. I think they have the better backcourt here. And I know when it comes to Dayton, they're a team who shoots a lot of threes. But Nevada's defense has done a great job at limiting three-pointers, holding teams to about 31%. So I'm going with Nevada here.
I love it, Raheem. Dayton has not beaten a team in the field. Enough said. Nevada, good play. I'm taking Patino's boys. New Mexico, money line. I'm not messing with the points. Clemson lost to BC their last game you saw them in the ACC tournament. They've been a team that has played with their food all year. Totally overrated in the ACC. New Mexico and the Lobos. A lot of love for the Mountain West. Who knew? Fahas, Raheem, JJ signing off. Good job by Stefan. We'll be back next week. Hopefully our brackets are still intact. Boys are out. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.